All right, good morning, good evening, good night. Welcome into the Nifty Q Show. We are interviewing founders, leaders, and builders in the non-fungible token industry. I'm super excited, as you can tell, to be sitting here with Golden Cross Summoner of the NFT Game and Protocol Avogachi. Of course, we'll be discussing what he's learned building Avogachi over the past 2 years, the latest game updates, including farming, what's happening soon in the Gachiverse, and much more. Golden Cross, how are you doing today, my man? Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, Protocol birthday. Avogachi birthday, 2 years old, and love it. Love where we're at, and it's been quite a journey. So excited to be here with you and celebrate it a bit. Not only the birthday, but our farm release. Everything's just been nuts in Avogachi world, so it's pretty good to be here.
We do have a lot of utility pieces to get into, but I think we're going to like flow into that piece of conversation. I think it's definitely a serendipitous interview, in my opinion, as well, because we do have a huge announcement from Microsoft, pseudo Minecraft, right, about them banning third-party, you know, applications that are building within that platform. As far as NFTs and blockchain are concerned, you guys are obviously building a metaverse-based NFT game. So what are your thoughts on that piece before we really dive into the meat of the episode?
Yeah, I mean, that's an important part. That might be the meat. It's just like when we think about IP, which is something we talk about a lot at Avogachi, and intellectual property and who owns what. NFTs are great because they prove your ownership. But beyond that, you know, there's kind of two schools of thought. There's like the open source, and then there's like, no, it proves I own it. So that's great. Like, it secures traditional IP in a great way. And it's kind of related to what we're seeing today with projects that might have relied too much on kind of things like Minecraft. You know, they're relying and tying themselves to kind of a what they want to be a symbiotic relationship. But if the people at Minecraft or wherever, Mojo, if they don't like it, eventually it's going to come back to bite you. And so you want a strong foundation with any project, right? And so one of the parts you have to look at, you look at the dev team. Is it doing anything interesting with smart contracts? Are we going somewhere new with this? But also, are we tying ourselves to a weak foundation where we actually are, you know, at the whim of somebody who has never expressed interest overtly? So I don't think Minecraft invited the NFT worlds and everyone to come plug into their system. And so it's really sad when we see what happens and they finally come around to, you know, kind of declaring they're going to ban it, right? So it undermines the original value prop so much, and it's kind of avoidable if you are a founder looking to do something completely original. You don't have to rely on any of that. You get a whole set of other challenges, but But it's always been my belief that the strongest IP, when we look back like 10 years from now, anytime a new technology comes out, there's the IP that existed before that technology, whether it's, like DVDs, like a new medium. And that new medium becomes the dominant force. And you'll see Mickey Mouse and Disney move into a new space, or whether it's video games or whatever. But it's actually the IP or the characters and the ideas that come native to that new medium that have the greatest success. So yeah, you'll have your movie knockoffs and all those clones. But at the end of the day, like when Nintendo came out, it wasn't the Mickey Mouse game that dominated. It was this new guy named Mario, right? And so it just makes sense that the IP kind of reflects, isn't informed by the new technology. And so, you know, I feel bad for what's happening over there. And I think it just further makes the case that another thing you have to analyze when you're looking at NFTs to collect or be involved in any way, you put your time and energy into, one more thing to look at, and the risk factor is who owns and what's going on the IP side, because this stuff is devastating if you have, it's out of their control, right?
Well, to your point, though, it's not out of their control completely, because they're choosing to actually go into those platforms in the first place. It seems like you guys took the harder road, right? You're building a platform from scratch. You're building that IP from scratch. You don't have that already built infrastructure. But then we see that kind of coming back and biting a lot of these projects, NFT worlds being probably the biggest, biting them in the butt. So what's the way forward for a project that has this happen? Like, what is the NFT world team having discussions behind the scene about, is there a possibility to move to a project like Avogadro and say, hey, we're going to move to these other platforms that already, you know, allow us to build openly and bring IP into Avogadro, bring it into Sandbox maybe. What do you think the way forward is for a project like those?
Well, I can't speak too much because I'm not super close to I don't very little about their team. But assuming that, you know, there would be a possibility here if I was in their position to probably look at some sort of pivot. You're going to have to pivot somehow. So what that pivot is probably a conversation with expectations informed from your community, your roadmap. What does it look like when you pull the rug out, the Minecraft rug, and then you have to kind of, you should have some sort of technology in place. If they're building their own infrastructure, then they can maybe pivot pretty easily and create, it's an opportunity to create their own vision and their own IP. They already have some advantages, right? There is a large amount of energy in that group and in that community. And so there's an opportunity there for sure. But you know, it's just sad because it could have been kind of an avoidable situation. But they were open about what this was about, and everybody kind of knew, like, you know, if Minecraft doesn't like this, you better have a plan B. So I hope they have a plan B.
It's definitely a situation where I hope they had those discussions. You like to think they would have those discussions prior to this like event happening, right?
That could have been in like the ideation stage. Like this is a very possible, I mean, you can't say you're surprised, right? So it's going to be like, well, what do we do now? So
I mean, let's get to the Gachiverse too, because I want to get into, you know, what you guys are building. And again, we talked about it at the beginning of the episode. It is the second year anniversary here for Avogadro as a protocol, as a project, as an IP. So congratulations on that. I want to get to what you've learned in that time. You know, like it's been 2 years in the space. Obviously, those are light years, of course. So what have you learned? Like, what's the biggest thing you've possibly taken away in that time?
One of them is the power of collaboration. So if you create this kind of framework for everyone to work together in, and incentives are aligned, and we kind of have a shared vision, it's amazing to see what can happen. And you're seeing it across the NFT space to different degrees of success and different intentions and goals, but it's pretty amazing what you can do. So yeah, at Pixelcraft Studios, we're kind of building out the flagship game, but Avogadro as a protocol, we have so many people building different tools, different games, different projects that use Avogadro and build on the kind of smart contract layer we already put down. So to me, it's the most exciting stuff is there with web, like leveraging the smart contracts, the staking, all the powerful things we can do, that's really where the action is. And it's more exciting for me to see other people stepping up and building stuff around Avogadro. We've got so many, like, I've got a few people that have reached out to me, and there's some stuff coming that's really impressive. And, you know, if I told them, if we get to a point where a year from now, like, the Gachiverse is doing its thing, whatever, but you build something that goes far more viral, I mean, that's amazing. That's the rising tide for everybody. And that's what creating kind of an open source community owned protocol allows to be possible. It doesn't guarantee it, but it creates the conditions where you can have kind of different people and actors step up, different entities, different companies come in and feel welcome. We do simple licensing agreements on our side. We've started in the last few months. So like there's members in the DAO that have kind of coalesced into their own guilds or sub-DAOs. And they're really good at really certain things. Some are media, some are creatives, some are developers. And so they've kind of earned some reputation and rapport with us. And so now we're able to issue these kind of limited licensing agreements between kind of the parent DAO, Pixelcraft, and all these sub-DAOs. And so it's like a curated open source in some sense. I mean, the contracts are completely open source. And our new website's going to be completely open source. You can fork it. But the IP currently Pixelcraft kind of protects. And so we kind of protect it, maintain it, because the DAO is unable to do that. And then we're able to basically prioritize members of the DAO or teams in the DAO with having full, you know, they can do whatever they want to build. So now we have multiple games being built, and it's an ecosystem not just one game.
Yeah, and it's been what, maybe 2 years. I mean, I probably had you guys on right around the time you guys launched, and you've been on multiple times on the channel. So it's really cool to see that ecosystem that you're mentioning grow out and become more than just your guys' vision when you guys first started. So we're going to jump into all of that as well. I mean, the DAO being, you know, revenue generating is another piece. Like, I'm always looking at those pieces as, you know, I wouldn't say we're making it out of the bear market necessarily, but you want to see products that are actually revenue generating, and Avogadro is certainly one of them. But before we jump into really like the hardcore details, I do want to have a quick background on you. And even before that, I want a background on who the heck is Farmer Alf, because I was looking at that in my pre-episode research, and I want to know who the heck is this old guy who seems to have so much knowledge on the Web3 space and on Avogadro particularly. So can I get a TLDR there?
Yeah, I'll do a quick one on Farmer Alf first. Farmer Alf is one of the OG farmers for Avogadro. I think he's got three videos where we've like public sightings of this gentleman, and he's always in his kitchen with his cup of coffee, and he's just, you know, sounding off on what he's most excited about. Whatever's innovative in Avogadro and tied to farming, he's probably going to talk about it. So we hadn't heard from him for a while, and then he just popped up last week talking about, you know, he's ready for the farm release. He wants to start harvesting from his Gachiverse parcels. So he's a cool kind of friend of the family here.
I needed that backstory. I appreciate you entertaining me with that one. Guys, we have Golden Cross here on the episode, on the series, on the Nifty Q show here. We're interviewing people all, you know, I wouldn't say daily, but we're interviewing, you know, founders each week, Golden Cross being one I've had on multiple times. So I'm excited to get to this. We do have a bunch of comments in the chat. So good morning, OVOT, Gachi Gang, all of the you that are here. We just pressed live. We're getting started here on the episode. So Golden Cross, let's get your background really quick, and then let's dive into all of the updates that have pretty much like been coming for months, and now we see them this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Depending how far back we start, you know, I was, no, I'm joking. I basically have been in the crypto industry in some extent for the last 7-8 years. I don't know, kind of stopped counting. Started with the digital assets exchange side. I was living overseas in Asia, working with different exchanges, and was kind of like a listing director. So I was constantly meeting different projects and kind of analyzing them and learning a lot while I'm working, right? I'm a big fan of work to learn, so DAOs are good for that too. And so got at the same time involved in some of the earliest DAOs. I just love the idea of working in a DAO. And some of those, like Digix DAO, for example, is the first one I worked with. Got a grant to build out an NFT project for them around, not for them, but you integrating with them, these digital collectible coins called BullionX. So that was our first foray. And even then, we were kind of innovating on, that was the first 721 that had ERC-20 tokens you could actually stake inside of it. Mm-hmm. So like literally you had an NFT that also had X amount of ERC-20 tokens bound to it. If you ever melted the gold NFT, you'd get your gold coins back. It was a pretty cool concept. This?
What was the timeline? Because I remember Bullionix.
Yeah, it's probably, we started on 2019, 2020. So most of 2019, I'd say, yeah. It's still up, running. We just haven't added any new art, so they are really rare collectibles. Hint, hint. the other thing I liked...
Were you getting back then? When you were like explaining NFTs in 2019 to people who are still kind of like in the crypto space, did they even have a conceptual like idea of what an NFT was?
That was a big impetus for that whole project, because I was showing people CryptoKitties and getting blank stares, and then I was like, well, I really want a product that can show, like people say, oh, a JPEG's backed by nothing. So that was like, I looked around the space and there were no NFTs backed by anything. So I said, okay, what can we do with a smart contract to make this stronger? It's kind of a precursor to NFTs and DeFi combining. Mm-hmm. And so we worked with this stable coin. Each coin was 1 gram of gold backed in a vault. And the idea was to stake those. And so the reason I did that, there were two fronts. There was the technical background of, hey, this actually has stable coins or certain types of coins backing it. So even if you don't like the art, you don't find it collectible, there's this base value. And I thought that'd be a great conversation starter with you know, at the next dinner party. You could show that. And that was the other thing. We wanted it to be mobile friendly and really play with the idea of tangibility for a digital product. So even to this day, it's one of my favorite ways to interact with an NFT. It's very simple. You just go to bullionx.io. If you own them, if you don't own them, you can flip each coin. They're 3D rendered high res. And there's a little viewing box where you can actually manipulate them, zoom in. And this was a way to replicate what you would do when you hold a gold coin or silver coin you're collecting in real life. And so trying to break that whole kind of like, I don't get it thing. I didn't want anybody I met to feel like they don't get it. I'll be like, dude, this feels real, right? It's backed by real gold, right? There's coins. So that was the whole premise of that. And it really all revolved around how can we show this to a normie, a non-Web3 person, and them to actually start to get it. Maybe not fully be on board with NFTs, but like we can graduate to why JPEGs have value too later. But let's start with one that's, you know, backed by gold. So
awesome. And that led you obviously to then founding Avogadro with the team. And then you guys, I would say, like, let's fast forward because we don't want to spend too much time here on maybe the origin story, but we want to get into the details. But over the last 6 months, kind of give me an update, maybe since the last time we even talked.
Yeah, a ton has happened. So with Avogadro, you know, we launched 2 years ago, and it was also challenging what it meant to be a crypto pet, right? You could pet it now. It was on chain. It was and that was cool. That's the intrinsic game. Now the last 6 months have been about the extrinsic game. Like what I'm talking about here is like a real RPG, right? Metaverse, everything's going GameFi. And we're in a very cool spot where we have a live game that can support thousands of players playing simultaneously in their browser at the same time. And so that's a built from scratch backend with some super heavyweights we had to hire out, like a former CoinMarketCap CTO, stuff like that, who have accepted the challenge and are enthusiastic and have been with us over a year now building this out. And you know, most games, if you go into Decentraland, you get 100 people together and we end up being split on two different servers. That doesn't happen in the Gachiverse. I see Otherworld is also pushing the boundaries. They have an infinite amount of resources, and they are also going to be building something that's, you know, able to be played over with thousands of people at once. But I'm so proud that we were out there months ago. We launched in May, and we were able to launch, go live with an alpha version, play to earn with tokens, with the economy going, crafting of NFTs, all these cool new ways to experience NFTs packed into this kind of browser-based game. So we've been live since May, and it's pretty crazy. Like the amount of enthusiasm and the guilds showing up, there are literally dozens upon dozens of full-blown guilds that are growing very quickly around Avogadro now. And so it's amazing to be in the spot we're in. And then just in the last few weeks, we finally delivered kind of the centerpiece of the Gachiverse, which is the farming. So if you've ever played Clash of Clans, one of the big things about our game is we wanted it so that you could kind of like a garden. You take care of your parcel, you upgrade it, you add new things, you take things away, and it kind of becomes its own living thing. And so we're on that journey now where there's all these different categories of NFTs to craft and then place on your parcel. So if it's a decoration, it's a decoration. They're rare, they're collectible, you can flex. If it's a installation, that usually refers to something like farm equipment that'll actually do farming from your land and help you raise your yield, get you more coins to collect. So the idea is pretty simple. But it can get complex as we get into all the layers of the RPG, because it's an RPG, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
A DeFi RPG.
It's kind of a double-edged sword, right? Like you're building out a larger and larger ecosystem, larger than a lot of different NFT projects. But because of that, you know, factor, it's hard to maybe dive in immediately and understand what's all going on. So we are going to dive in actually to the Gachiverse. We do have a screen share capability. I want to apologize right now to everyone listening on audio, because you can find the Nifty Q Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. So if you guys are on audio right now and you want to get a visual, you will have to jump into YouTube and view us as we go through the Gachiverse essentially. So Golden Cross, you have the floor. You are open. Right. Nothing crazy. Don't do anything. We're live on YouTube, so Don't do anything crazy, but you go ahead and take it.
Cool. We're at avogachi.com right now. I've got my MetaMask ready, so I'm going to enter the app, connect the wallet. And what you're going to see is, you know, all the options. You could go to the marketplace, you could get your ghost tokens. But if you've never played Avogachi and you're like willing to check it out, you want to try this whole aspect of exploring the Gachiverse, on the right column, you'll see this two Avogachis holding hands kind of thing and this logo. And that's called Gachi Lending. And you can go in there and you can actually borrow an Avogachi for literally free. Like, you just pay the gas. And it takes a minute to load because it's pulling it direct from the blockchain. But there they are. These are different Avogachis you can borrow. Some of them have an upfront cost, but they'll typically give you all the rewards that you earn while you're playing the game. And then others will give you the gachi for free, but you'll notice they actually do an on-chain split where, let's say, you collect 100 Alchemica tokens, maybe it's 50-50 or 80-20, whatever. It will automatically, in a trustlessly way, divide those earnings to both your wallets at the conclusion of the lending period. So just check out Gachi Lending if you want to hop in, and it's a kind of no-risk way to check it out.
So Golden Cross, I got a couple questions coming through the chat here. One, I believe Asmodai was asking what your favorite gacha accessories were, which we can get to. And also, we have another comment from Crypto Gachi who's saying, you have unstaked ghost with a surprise question mark. We expected that to be staked, okay?
Well, yeah, it would be staked, but I've got to get in the bazaar later. I got some moves to make, so after this call, maybe during the call, we'll get in there and put some of that ghost to use.
Dope.
Yeah. So I'm not going to borrow one right now, but it'd be this easy. I just click this purple button and we would be borrowing this gachi for 0.9 ghost. And it looks like you can borrow it for a full day. So you can do a lot in the gachiverse in a day. Let's put it that way. So let's hop back. We're just going to hop in the gachiverse, give everybody kind of a visual, see what farming looks like. And then we'll go from there. I don't know if the sound's going to come across, but this game does have some seriously loud sound effects if things are, you know, have your mics ready before you hop in. So here we go. First thing, we choose where to spawn. Now, I own parcels, so I have a list of parcels that I can spawn on. We're going to go to the very first one.
A lot of gotcha gang in the chat. I appreciate you guys. Tyler Dedham, Sebastian saying Jesse staying liquid to strike the dip. Thrax is in the house. Jared Darnett. So appreciate you guys stopping by. Avogachi Ghost Ship. Thank you guys for stopping by the live chat here today on the Nifty Q Show. All right.
Cool. So I'll show off some of the latest updates here. What you see is a top-down 2D kind of RPG. And it's on a, like, you know, very vaporwave style kind of grid. We call it the grid. And we got this cool little talk bubble we added a few weeks ago, which is actually, it's so simple, but it's so such a big improvement for communication. So we can just talk in real time to anybody in our area by shooting off little comic book style talk bubbles. So we'll just say, hi, Nifty Q and Gachi Gang. And it instantly pops up. And anybody in my vicinity would be able to read that and you know, have a conversation with me. So yeah, shout out to the Gachi Gang. Now let's zoom out and see what we're dealing with. I have a pretty big parcel here. This is a spacious parcel outlined in pink. And we're going to go up here to the top where I've done some decorating. I have a lot left to do. And there we go. I'm on the north side right next to the little road. We got a little road here. And this is my parcel. So just give you a tour. We've got, you'll notice some different like textures that are on my ground. And those are actually NFTs. They're 1155s. So each one is completely on chain. And that's really important because what you see here is basically what I think about as like one dimension of the Gachiverse. But in theory, in practical terms, it's all on chain. So anyone could come in and reinterpret this data in a different way. You could literally like make a 3D version of the Gachiverse, and all that data, what you did, what's on your parcel, what's not on your parcel, that would all still be there. It's quite powerful with once you start thinking about where this can go. But here we have them placed in our parcel. I have a gold tile. These are extremely rare and kind of OG status. The tiles decorate your floor and the installations sit on top of the tiles. So here you can see I have a golden altar on top of my golden tile. And this altar is kind of the heartbeat of your parcel. They're not all gold, but they all have the same functionality. You can go and you can pray to it, do your channeling session. And this is kind of like the Gachi UBI. You can actually just get free tokens that airdrop down onto you for showing up and playing. If you remember petting your Gachi and getting rewarded, this is like petting your parcel. So you're like, you're showing up, you're channeling, and either you can do it, or if you don't have time for that nifty queue, you're busy, you could just like lend these out to a whitelist. You can actually make a whitelist of addresses. So you could have the whole nifty queue gang managing your parcels for you. And you could and you could set a split that's amicable, and it'd be pretty cool. So I'm not going to channel right now. We have currently channeling is on Saturdays. We do event based spillover, so you could channel, but you really want to do it on Saturdays. Then
is
I got this.
Is it a certain window that you have to channel within, and does it roll over if maybe I miss a week? How does that all work?
Well, to be frank, there was a huge battle with, like, when we launched, it went like a hockey stick. The number of players, we had 30, 40,000 people on the website for the first few days. It was amazing. And the thing that was our biggest challenge for the weeks following was the bots, because there's a lot of value at stake here. So the bot wars were very real, and we're still optimizing for that. But in the meantime, the DAO voted, and we worked out a way where it's more event-based for now. Event-based things work really well with the Gachiverse, and I think in NFTs in general, getting everybody together is a lot more fun. We're all there together at the same time. So yeah, Saturdays at like 10 a.m. Eastern time, we're hanging out in the Discord and we're channeling our altars together. So it's a good way to start the weekend.
Yeah, I want to give a quick shout out to Gabe Allred, who's in the chat. He's loving what you got going on here. So take me through a little bit more of the utility. And then I also have one more question. You mentioned it being kind of an open instance, right? Like it's just an open universe. It's not you're in an instance by yourself, correct?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. No, go ahead. If there were 4,000 players there today, like we've had on other at other times, they would all be live running around, you know, together without any issues. So it's pretty amazing what we've been able to do with that. But yeah, happy to take you through here. Right now, I just installed this fountain yesterday. It's a beautiful fountain. This is considered as a decoration. There's a 2-week crafting window for this fountain. So after 2 weeks, it will never be minted again. And whatever the cap is, that's the cap. So we don't do like a hard cap, because then you end up with a first come, first serve model. Instead, we do timed windows where you can gather your Alchemica tokens and use them on this crafting table to actually come in and craft an item. So the recipe book is constantly changing. And so right now it's available. We can actually craft another fountain, enter it into the crafting table. And if you have a good enough balance, you can actually craft this. Now I'm short, it appears. I need more FUD, the green one. So I'm short to do another one, but it's okay, because I already crafted one and I've yet to place it on my parcel. So I want to show you how that works.
Okay.
What you do is you go here to this icon is the builder mode. Oh, somebody just joined me on my parcel. That's awesome. Okay.
Wob 303 says, is Jesse a whale? You're also saying, Alex S says, the best part of this is it's tax exempt because it's our religion.
Yeah, we've looked at all the models. The religious exemption is definitely the best. That's why we got altars everywhere. So, okay, so these are all my inventory. I actually have a lot of things I've crafted that I've yet to place. I've got some gold tiles I'm holding back on, and I could sell those in the bazaar as liquid items, or I can put them on my own parcel and kind of bind these NFTs together. So what I'm going to do here is I want to have a fountain on each side of kind of my entryway here, very symmetrical. So we're going to take my last grand fountain and we are going to place it. And I'm really zoomed out, but this is basically me saying, yes, I want to do an on-chain transaction. My MetaMask is popping up and it is now being placed. And as soon as the blockchain settles it, Polygon, of course, then you will see that fountain is now hardwired to my parcel. So it's pretty cool. So I'm going to let that do its thing. And we can look over at my neighbors here a little bit. Oh my gosh. There it is, success. So we'll exit build mode. I'm in District 7 if any of you want to join us. And let's go say hi to this guy real quick.
How did you, like, what is the, I guess, inspiration for the layout of the Gachiverse? Like, and what does that look like from, like, a top-down view? Because I know it's, like, in one area, correct? Like, one, like, square kind of castle, essentially?
It's like a giant castle. It's a big rectangle called the Citadel. And then outside of that is the Wild Grid, but we're not there yet. That's a future forthcoming release where the world grows even bigger. And, yeah, I mean, the inspiration was a mixed match of things. I mean, we basically have a kind of brain trust in Pixelcraft Studios, and then there's constantly great ideas coming from the Avagachi DAO. So it's emerging of all those things. But we wanted I think of it as like a framework where we can all fill this world in together. One of my favorite, you know, like Settlers of Catan or something. We're like the pioneers of the Gachiverse. Like, we are mimicking what all of Web3 is doing. Like, all of Web3 is pioneering new space and working with new tools to create new things. So this is really just a kind of low res or high resolution version of that, like a metaphor for that. Mm. And so we're all in here literally filling in the coloring book together. You know, you see on my floor, I've got a lot of grid lines, all these pink, purple grid lines, kind of boring. And the point is, like, a year or two, whatever, over time, we're going to see all of that disappear where, you know, I'm going to be joking with people that onboard to Avagachi later, and they're going to be like, I've never even seen the Gachiverse, like, empty like that with the star field behind it. You know, it's going to all be filled in with user-generated content and all sorts of NFTs.
Absolutely. I don't mean to be like getting into like the nitty gritty and asking like even financial questions, but how does Ghost kind of work its way into, you know, having a utility? Do you use it to buy, you know, certain items? Because I know that Alchemica is used. I know that Keck is used. Like, how do you manage those tokens with your main kind of governance token in general?
Yeah. So great question. Ghost is the kind of the umbrella governance token of the whole Avagachi ecosystem. So right now we're in the Gachiverse, but when I talk about it as a protocol, there's other games and other experiences that are being built over here, and some of them are already live. They all rely on Ghost for the most part. So Ghost is your governance token, but it also acts a bit as a currency. The thing is, when you spend your governance token, you're losing voting power. So we wanted to kind of balance it because we knew there's a lot to craft. We don't want everybody cashing in their voting power to build in the Gachiverse. So that's where the Alchemica raw elements come in, where it makes sense to have these kind of raw elements of the world, and they are just for crafting in the Gachiverse. And so they're two very different tracks. The Ghost token, GHST, gets a lot of utility because of the DAO itself. So we're building out the DAO side of things as well. New dashboards. We have a V2 for Avagachi.com that's just a few weeks away, and that's going to be sick. Like, that really has a whole DAO section with new tools, new analytics, and makes it really easy to vote and participate, among many other things. So yeah, that's a little alpha. Look out for Avagachi V2 here in a couple weeks.
Love it. So we have a fountain here right in front of us. I would love to get that utility as well as kind of level 1 through 9 altar utility. I know we're kind of flying through this. This has been like the fastest 40 minutes of my life, to be honest. But yeah, I know you said you do have to get out of here at the top of the hour. So just hit us with like all of the utility pieces as we see Overkill Bud and another getting their 5 seconds of fame here. Wave.
All right, let's do, these are the different harvesters. This was the farm release. We finally can farm on our property. So you'll notice everything I showed you is decorations in an altar, but let's start farming. So I'm going to come down here to my FOMO harvester. Every of the 4 Alchemica tokens, each one has their own harvesters. Very Clash of Clans-esque, if you're familiar. So we're going to craft, let's see. Let's craft, well, here, I want to show you this first. This is amazing. This is the Chainlink VRF aspect of this release, which is huge. The premise was, when you get a piece of land in the Gachiverse, it actually has an undisclosed amount, unrealized amount of the Alchemica under the ground, just like oil under your ground. And so we thought this was a great idea of, with an Avagachi, you had to put tokens into your gacha to bring it life. That's a lot of work. Here, we said, let's make it easy for everybody. We already put the tokens in the NFT. It's up to you to bring the tokens out. And so we flipped that, and I think it's a lot more fun this way. And basically what it is we don't know how much is in there until the harvester, the farm release. So just yesterday, we were able to go in for the first time, put a harvester on our property. And the first time you do it, it will ask you, do you want to survey your property? And this survey is actually engaging the Chainlink random number generator, VRF, and it takes a minute and it comes back and it actually randomly, in a transparent way, gives you where you are in that randomness bell curve of how much is in your land. So it just looks at the size of your property and then acts accordingly to randomize you across that bell curve. So everybody's like surveying their land to see, you know, did I strike gold or, yeah. So some people were very happy and some were very sad, but that's the name of the game. So this parcel in particular, I think, is about average. And that you can see my survey results here. Here's what's remaining to be farmed from my piece of land. I have 190,000 FUD I can farm from this, but I need my harvesters enabled to do that.
Gotcha.
So let's craft it. Let's see if I can do this.
Are the resources on the land capped? Like, are those all of the resources that will ever be available for that piece of land? And then what happens after they're all completely farmed?
Yeah. So the thing about the Gachaverse is I love crypto voxels and the open world, like do whatever you want, but we also wanted it to be a game. So it also gives us more control for a framework to build within. So things like tokenomics, we have broken the Gachaverse narrative into three distinct acts. And we're in act one right now. And there's basically X amount of the Alchemica is allocated for act one, which will run for, you know, probably a little over a year. And so that's the token supply is very predictable. It's actually a bit like Bitcoin with the halvening. You know what you're going to get in this kind of window of time. And based on milestones and the number of players, we'll kind of accelerate how fast we can get to Act 2. So it's a team effort. We all get to Act 2 together, and it will kind of unlock the second wave of tokenomics. But it's all pre-published, and it's all like kind of hardwired and ready to go. Very, very predictable. So, in a simpler way, yeah, if you farm everything in the first act, you're going to be able to roll the Chainlink survey again in the second act.
Gotcha.
Yep, yep. So let's see, did I craft it? I think I did. Yep, I have one new item in my inventory. Oh, where should we put it? Maybe my guys know where to put it. My friends here. Let's just put one right here for the heck of it. So I'm going to go back to build mode. Let's see if we can do this.
I'm excited to see the scale of this on your plot. I like how you guys are scaling up to like the visuals with your Avagachi. You know, I like that.
Yeah. Now I'm playing, you can play with a controller. I'm playing with like a touchpad here, so I'm not doing great. I placed it in the wrong spot. Let's do that again. And let's just plop it straight in the middle here. Why not? And all right, we're, oh, okay. It reverted, but we'll do that again. But actually here, real quick, because I know we're limited on time, look at my neighbors, because I'm not really the builder. Like, I'm too big. Like, I've not.
Oh, I see. Okay.
These are small parcels, and look at them farming away. So, like, this gentleman here, I'm going to zoom in. He is farming up a storm on his humble parcel. And you can see he's got the FOMOs going, fanning the flames. He's got a lot going on here. He's off to a very good start. And these on the other side are the reservoirs. So just like Clash of Clans, you kind of mine it and then you store it. And from there, you can download it to your wallet. You can withdraw it to your wallet. So it's kind of a two-step. But that's a nice little humble parcel. They're doing a great job. And if we go over to the other side, we could see we've got some ridiculous spacious parcels. I mean, there's one person I know, they built in the first day, they took all these harvesters and arranged it so it looked just like Tetris, like zoomed out. You have all the,
yes.
And then the L block coming down. It was really classy, really, really well done. But this person here, I mean, look at these. They're getting really creative in the space here.
Yeah, this is amazing stuff, Golden Cross. I appreciate you kind of going into the application for us, into the game, into that metaverse for us there. Anything as far as, like, I guess I'll have a two-fold question, right? Like, if sure. someone just saw what you were doing there, how can they get involved? I know you mentioned at the beginning of the episode, like, where they should start, but let's reiterate that and say, like, okay, mm-hmm. where do we want to, you know, start if we're a new player? And then what is the future release that you guys have, you know, up your sleeve for the next you know, quarter?
Yeah, yeah. It depends what you want to do. If you are looking to play and jump in, you could join a guild. There are so many guilds popping up. There's ones you know, household names like YGG and Blackpool. They're very involved. In fact, I'm doing an AMA with YGG next week. But then there's also like all these organic groups that have came up, like Gachi Mafia and great names like Shigachi Bulls. That's a good group. If you're a Bulls fan and you like Avagachi, that's the one for you. And so many more. And they're all building and supporting each other to kind of manage these assets. We're getting into kind of a world of asset management for NFTs now. And so you guys can work as a team and split the yield. And it's a really fun social way to do this. I recommend just checking out the guilds. You do that by joining our Discord, asking around, following our Twitters, various Twitter feeds. And of course, just going to avagachi.com, our landing page kind of points you to all the different directions you can go. We're very open and welcoming. If you're interested in building a game, if your dream job has been to build a game, ultimately, in a nutshell, when people ask me what Avagachi is, as a DAO, we are just building a game together in a decentralized way. We don't even need to meet in real life, and we're building out this amazing game together. So if you want to be a game developer, join Avagachi DAO, and you can contribute to the, you know, the best ideas rise to the top. So come on in.
Yeah, I'm going to hit you with a couple more lightning questions here. As far as the level system goes, 1 through 9, how do I level this up, you know, to get more and to channel more and all these different things?
Yeah. So the altars, the harvesters, everything except the decorations can actually be leveled up 9 levels. And so you have to do that by feeding it more alchemica, going back to the crafting table and choosing to upgrade them. And it's a combination of alchemica plus time. And that's where our final token comes in. If you LP, if you want to be more on the DeFi side of things and LP these tokens, provide liquidity to QuickSwap, you can do that and you'll actually farm something called GLTR or Glitter Token, which is what helps you upgrade your items faster. So it's literally like, you know, a lot of games have the kind of gemstone you spend to upgrade faster. That's our equivalent of that, except it's on-chain.
Okay. I know you guys just released farming, so this is kind of a cop-out question in my opinion, but like, what's next?
What's next?
You know, what's going on?
I know. That's how it works in crypto. They're like, that was cool. All right, what's next? Yeah, there's a ton. There's a ton. I think we're going to have some big announcements here soon for some stuff Gachiverse related that if you're already tuned in, people know they want, and you can expect that to be delivered. If you're on the outside looking in, it's going to be some pretty exciting kind of, you know, like we're moving towards PvP, some battling, some melee. It's going to get pretty wild in there, start to look like a real action RPG. And then we're also going to have some big announcements separate from the Gachiverse, because we are an open protocol. You're going to see other games coming out from builders in the space. You're going to see the avagachi.com V2 with all sorts of new bells and whistles, which includes GBM bid-to-earn auctions built in. You'll literally be able to auction. It's going to be the best NFT marketplace in the world is actually what we're getting to, if I'm really honest with you.
Let's go.
Yeah, you're going to be able to do a bid-to-earn auctions for any item you own in the Gachiverse. And if you know what that is, if you know, you know. So it's going to be really, really good.
All right. This has been an awesome conversation, a really quick conversation, in my opinion. Like, this has literally been probably the fastest an interview's flown by. And we do have to let Golden Cross go. Guys, we will be on the Nifty Q show next week as well. We have a bunch of different founders and creators on the channel. This is the third time Golden Cross has been on the network, and I want a fourth pretty quickly. We're gonna have to do it like quarterly, man. Last question coming from the chat. Gabe is saying we need that Gachi with Q on the forehead, and he also says, how do we get that Gachi merch that you've got wearing on, Golden Cross?
Oh, I know. You had to come to New York to get this one. We had a great time at NFT NYC, and we'll have more merch drops soon. I think there was a little merch in Paris this week, actually. If you want to fly out to Paris, you might still be able to snag a shirt. We'll get some more merch out soon. I know the demand's there. We gotta do it.
Dude, if you send me anything, I will wear it on these streams. I promise you. Just to rep the Gachi gang, you guys have been awesome for the past 2 years. Again, happy birthday to Avagachi. Thank you guys for showing up. This has been an awesome episode of Nifty Q Show. We had Avagachi and Golden Cross on the episode. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you.
Later, guys.